It's a great privilege to be here this morning again, once again, to be able to share God's truth with you. I'm loving it. Okay. Right. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you as an humble servant, Lord, willing and ready to be used by you. Lord, I avail myself to you. I pray, Lord, let not my will, but let your kingdom come and let your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. In this place this morning, I pray, Lord, for a deeper desire of you. I pray for a fresh encounter with you. I pray, Lord, that each and every one of us today, under the sound of your voice, that you will minister to us, Lord, in whatever way you choose, Lord. I just pray that our hearts will be open, our hearts will be ready to receive what you have in store for us, Lord. I pray as I open my mouth, you will speak through me, Lord Jesus. I pray for that fresh anointing to deliver your truth. I pray for clarity, I pray for grace, and I pray for mercy. I pray for your love, and Lord, in the end, your name would be lifted in high honor. We give you all the praise and all the thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, for those who are not here, know that we're going through the book of Genesis. And I have the challenge to bring to you this morning from the book of Genesis chapter 24. Abraham seeking a wife for his son, Isaac. There's so much in that book, but sadly I can't give you everything. And it's a very long chapter. I think it's the longest chapter in Genesis chapter 24 is the longest chapter in that book. So I hope you read it. But if not, you open your Bible and you can follow, right? But I wouldn't be reading it. And I'll give you the opportunity to do so as I read. And I offer my title, Abraham Seek a Wife for His Son Isaac. If you know, and if you read the previous chapter, Abraham buried his wife Sarah. Here in chapter 24, Abraham faced a difficult situation because he too will soon depart this life. God had promised Abraham that he would become the father of many nations and that his offspring will one day possess the land of Canaan. But Abraham was concerned for his children's well-being. Like any good father who has their children's best interests at heart, he wants the best for his children. We don't want the best for our children. Who wouldn't want the best for them? Any good father wants the best for their children. So I want you to bear in mind, there's three things we may observe here concerning Abraham. Three things. The first thing is the care he took of a good son to get him married and to get him well married. Please put up the slide with Abraham. The care he took of a good son to get him married and get him well married. Abraham was being cautious that his son should not marry a woman from Canaan. Abraham did not want Isaac to go looking for a wife among his kindred or his family in Ur of the Chaldeans. What was going on in Canaan? The Canaanites, let me just give you a little insight what was going on in Canaan. The Canaanites were living in great wickedness, as the scriptures say, and they were idol worshippers. They were practicing all manner of perversion. It is It is of a great importance we should not yoke with unbelievers. And here, I want us to sit down and listen carefully. Don't misinterpret anything I said, but listen and read through the scripture. We should not yoke with unbelievers. Abraham knew that God had called him and his descendant to live a life separate from the people around him. And I used this scripture before, and I'm going to use it again, and I'm going to explain it to you. And I do hope you understand where I'm coming from. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 to 16, and this is what it says: do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? They are opposite. Light and darkness cannot mix. A believer and an unbeliever, they have nothing in common. Do you understand that? They have nothing in common. They are opposite. So we as Christians, we have a responsibility to live a life before people as an example, a role model, a light, pointing them to Jesus. Sorry, 1 minute. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Let me say that again. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 to 16, it says, do not yoke together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? They are opposite. They cannot mix. For instance, let me look at relationships. A Christian who is going to have an intimate relationship with a non-Christian, it is wrong. Why? You have disaster there. Why? Because the two of them thinks different, they have different desires, different interests. The believers have an interest for the things of God, but the non-believer, you have an interest for the things of the world, the flesh, and the flesh cannot please God. So therefore, the stronger one gonna lead the weaker one to do whatever they want them to do. In other words, most times in a relationship with a believer and an unbeliever, the believer always compromise their salvation to follow or to please the non-believer. Most times. So, God call us to be separated from that. God wants us to be holy. God wants us to be pure. God wants us to be clean, right? God wants us to do what is right and what's going to please him rather than pleasing man or pleasing the flesh. The flesh cannot please God. The flesh do not have any interest in the things of God. I'm not saying if somebody who want a Christian and marry to an unbeliever or marry to somebody and then one of them became a Christian, they should leave that person. No, that is not what I'm saying. If you are a Christian and you don't have a partner, and then you're going to seek a partner and then going to seek an unbeliever, it is not right. Do you understand what I'm saying? It is not right. Because the two of you, you don't have the same interests. Because you, as a Christian, seeks to please God, and the other person seeks to please the things of the world or the flesh. And the flesh cannot please God. Do I make myself clear there? Yeah? So, what was going on in Canaan? Abraham was living in Canaan, and wickedness was going on in Canaan. Like us, we live in this world, but we are not of this world. We are here for a purpose, and our purpose here is to please God and to do the will of God. So, Abraham knew what was going on in Canaan. I have here, Paul says, do not be unequally yoked. It means that we should not associate with unbelievers who do not actually live for or accept Jesus into their heart. We should not engage in any sort of intimate relationship or partnership with someone who does not let Jesus be the Lord of the Lord or Savior of their lives. It will ultimately lead to our demise, which means death or destruction. Because if you enter into a marriage or a business relationship with somebody who is not a Christian, it can end up in disaster. Because you, as a Christian, either have to seek to please that person, abundant your salvation, to do whatever to please the person, to make sure to keep that business going. The same thing with a marriage. You will have to either seek to please the person who in believe in Jesus, to either make the relationship work. And if you want to please God, therefore, you'll have a conflict there. Because the two of you not working in the same direction. And the Bible asks the question, can two walk together except them in agreement? The answer is no. You have to be in agreement with each other for things to work. And if you're working against each other, there is a problem. It cannot work, and it will never work. It never worked before, and it won't work now. The Bible says, let God be true, and let every man be a liar. So even if in our mind we think that it could work, God said, no, it can't work. And we have to bear that in mind. And if anybody wants to challenge me on that, I have scripture. We can go and read the scripture. After, you can come to me and you can share with me. I'm willing for us to discuss that. Right? Therefore, we too must be separated from unbelievers in close friendship and in marriage, which include dating non-believers. However, we are still to show genuine love to those who are for those who we are separated from. We still need to respect unbelievers. We still need to love them. And we still need to be a light and an encouragement to them and respect them. We ain't supposed to be arrogant to these people, because these are the people. These are the people who Christ come to save. He say, I've come to seek and to save those who are lost. So we still have a responsibility to be a light to these people, to be different and to be separated. We ain't supposed to be engaging in the things they engage in. The things they involve in, we ain't supposed to get ourselves involved in these things. We need to be different. We as Christians, we are called to be different. And we have to be different. if we are not different, why we preach to them? Why are we telling them about Jesus? It makes no sense. You might as well all come together, do everything what they do, live the way they live, and happy sailing. But no, we are called to be different. Abraham was called to be different. Even though he lived in Canaan, he was called to be separated. And that is why Abraham makes sure that he makes his house in order. Why did Abraham not want Isaac to go back to his native land and choose a wife? Abraham did not want Isaac to go looking for a wife among his kindred or his family, because he may be eager or tempted to settle there. Should Isaac go to Chaldee to choose a wife for himself and then decide to stay, he would be turning his back on the promise God had made with Abraham. And turning your back on God's promise is being disobedient and unfaithful to God. Abraham, as a good father, made sure that he protected the blessings, the promise of God, the purity of his son and his descendants to come. Abraham makes sure that he do that he protect the blessings, the promises of God, and the purity of his son. The second thing we observe in this scripture is the charge Abraham gave to a good servant. Abraham was too old to make this journey to find a wife for his son Isaac. So his course of action was to charge his trusted servant to make an oath to find a wife for his son. What was the charge? The servant was bound by an oath to do his best to get a wife for Isaac from among Abraham's relatives. An oath means a sincere promise. It requires being faithful and committed to an agreement. The servant was up for the challenge, so he made an oath to go and find a wife for his master's son, Isaac. And the third thing we observe in this scripture is the confidence he placed in a good God who he doesn't doubt. He remembers the promise God made and confirmed to him that he would give him the land of Canaan and to his descendants. One typical example of God's faithfulness to Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, he was childless and was concerned about who will be his heir. "Will it be my servant?" he asked. But God spoke to him and promised him that he will bless him with a child from his own body. And Abraham believed God, and his faithfulness and his faith was counted as righteousness. So we see that God's promise and our experiences are sufficient to encourage us, to encourage our dependence. God's promises and our experiences are sufficient to encourage our dependence on God. When we see God's promises in our life, and when we experience God in the situation we go through, it encourages us really to trust God and to learn to depend on God, because God is faithful. And verse 10 to 28, which is slide 2. I think that's the map. The map, yeah. Here we see the faithfulness of Abraham's servant having received his charge. He diligently set off on his journey, equipped with what was suitable for his negotiation. The servant set off from Canaan and headed to Ur of the Chaldean to look for a wife for Abraham's son, Isaac. I was trying to look and see what was the distance from Ur of the Chaldean to from Canaan to Ur of the Chaldean, but we just have to imagine it's a long way. It's a very long way. But the servant was faithful. He committed himself to his master to do such a job, to go somewhere, to look for somebody that he don't have any idea who you're looking for. But it takes faithfulness, it takes commitment and dedication. Here we see the faithfulness of Abraham's servant. Having received his charge, he diligently set off on his journey, equipped with what was suitable for his negotiation. How equipped are we when given a task? How equipped are we? Are we diligent? Are we delighted? Do we have an expectant spirit? How equipped are we? Are we delighted to do the task is given to us? Do we have an expectant spirit like the servant do? He prayerfully acknowledged God in his affairs. He positioned himself in the right place at the well of water. He was at the right place and at the right time. He was in tune with God. Are we prayerfully acknowledging God in all our ways? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." We need to trust God when being given a task. We need to trust God like the servant did. Not with some of our heart, but with all our heart. Lean not to our own understanding, but we need to lean on God, depend on God, and his Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us with the task that being entrusted to us, like the servant did. And God promised that he will direct our path. The servant acknowledged God by praying. He prayed for our prosperity and success in his affairs. Before he was finished praying, God answered in prayer. It was a speedy reply. It was instant. So we can see the servant acknowledged God by praying and asked God for success in his journey. And God answered his prayer. And Isaiah 65 and verse 24 says, "Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear." So we see that God answers prayer when we really and truly trust Him. When we depend upon God for guiding us and for directing us in everything, not some things, in everything, God hears and He answers our prayer. Three things we can learn from the servant. One, he was faithful to his master. He was faithful and committed with the task he was entrusted with. And the third thing, he was trustworthy. He was trustworthy. He was faithful to his master. He was faithful and committed to the task he was entrusted with. And he was trustworthy. How faithful are we? How faithful are we? Slide 3, please. Yeah. Rebecca fitted the requirements. She was willing, humble, and tender-hearted. She might have been of a courteous disposition. Can you imagine if she was in a bad mood that day? What could have been the outcome if our reply was, "Do it yourself. Don't bother me, or I am busy"? What's our attitude when asked to serve? Rebecca would have lost her blessings if she had the wrong attitude. Our appropriate attitude brought her in line with Christ and His covenant. Are we welcoming? Caring? Are we going the extra mile? Or do we grumble or give excuses? Are we welcoming? Caring? Going the extra mile? Or do we grumble and complain and make excuse? After meeting Rebecca, he acknowledged God in thanksgiving. He prayed for success, and now he had succeeded well. What we win by prayer, we must wear in praise. What we win in prayer, we must wear in praise. You see, the servant prayed and God blessed him. God gave him success in his journey. God helped him to identify the woman for his master, our son. And in return, what the servant did, he gave God praise. And he gave God thanks for making his journey successful. We too, when God answers our prayer, we need to be thankful. We need to give God the praise, and we need to give God glory. So whatever we win in prayer, we must wear it in praise. Sorry. Hmm. It is a good thing to give thanks to God for his blessings and answered prayer. The sovereign was also grateful that our relatives were not idol worshippers, but true worshippers and from the descendants of Abraham's family line. The third thing we can also learn from Rebekah. Three things we can learn from Rebekah. She kept herself pure. She was faithful. She was caring, kind, and had an humble spirit. And this goes for young people and for anyone, right, who's single or any Christian. We should keep ourselves pure from anything that will pollute us or anything that will defile our relationship with God. We need to keep ourselves pure. We need to be faithful to God and faithful to the things he entrusted to us. We need to be caring, we need to be kind, and we need to be humble. We need to have the spirit of humility. So these are things that we can learn from Rebekah. Moving on swiftly, slide 4, verse 29 to 53. Here we have the making of the marriage between Isaac and Rebekah. The servant met Rebekah's family and stated the intention of his business, that he looking for a wife for his master's son, reassuring them that God's finger was upon his journey. Here in Genesis 24, we find one of the Bible's greatest love stories. But the real story is not that between Isaac and his bride, but the love of God, towards his people and his regards for his promises. The great love story was not between Isaac and his bride, but the love of God towards his people and his regards for his promises, right? God respect his promise, he protect it. God love his people, and that's why God entrusted Abraham. God trust Abraham, because God know Abraham was faithful, and God know Abraham stand for what is right, what is true, what is pure, and the things of God, for us, they are pure, they are righteous, they are holy, right? So even though God called Abraham to Canaan, which was a place of idol worship and all sorts going on there, God knew Abraham is faithful. And God trusted him with his promise and with his people. Are we trusted, trustworthy? Are we faithful to God and to his promise? Verse 54 to 61. Rebekah left home, though her family had wanted her to stay for a few more days. Rebekah consent to go immediately. She was ready to meet our groom. Is our heart ready to meet Christ? She didn't waste any time, even though our mom and our brother wanted her to stay even, you know, a few days more. She said no. She was in tune with God. Her spirit was in tune with God. And she consented, yes, I'm going. With no delay, she go. She went. She didn't waste any time. Is our heart ready to meet Christ? Are we looking forward for his return? Are we excited to meet him? Just like Rebekah was excited to meet our groom? Are we excited? Are we ready to meet Christ? Are we excited to meet him? Slide 5, please. 62 to 67. Here Isaac and Rebekah are happily brought together. Isaac was well employed when he met Rebekah. He was out in the field one evening to meditate or pray. He went to take advantage of a silent evening and set his mind on God. He needed a solitary place to be with God, away from all distraction. Solitude will do us good. Walking alone and sitting alone with God, if we have the skill of properly using solitude, we are never alone. Do we spend time alone with God? Do we spend time alone with God? Being in his presence and meditating on his love and grace? Or just giving him praise and thanksgiving? Believers, meditation and prayer ought to be both our business and delight. Meditation and prayer ought to be both our business and delight. Time with God refreshes us. Spending time with God refreshes us. We build a better relationship with God when we spend time with God, because we get to know the God we serve. So time with God refreshes us. We build a better relationship with God, and our faith grows stronger. In times of trouble, we can safely trust him. You know why? Because we spend the time with him, we get to know him personally, intimately, and we know what he's able to do for us. Like it says in Daniel chapter 11 and verse 32. It said, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploit. So when you know your God, you know what your God can do. Your God can do exceeding abundantly above all that we may ask or think or even imagine, because we really know your God. You know who you put your trust in. And you know who you're depending on, and you know he is faithful, and he's able to do whatever you committed to him, or you entrusted in his hand. And he's faithful to his promises, just like he did with Abraham. So, I'm going to conclude with easy. In Genesis 24, we see Abraham was faithful to God. The servant was obedient to his master. Isaac, a good son who seeks God in solitude. Rebekah was caring, kind, and willing to act. We see God here as the promise keeper. God faithful to his promise. Abraham was a good father, because he did not allow his son to get involved with the Canaanites women. He protected his integrity, his purity, and he also protected the promises of God from being polluted with perverseness, wickedness, and idolatry. Abraham makes sure that he protects these things. What sort of things are happening around us? And how are we trying to protect our children from them? Just think about the things that Abraham done for his son Isaac. And put ourselves in that place. What sort of things are happening around us? And how are we trying to protect our children from them? We as parents have a duty and a care for our children, a sole responsibility to teach our children the right way and to do the right thing. We are the role model. Therefore, we need to lead and live our lives by example so they can follow. Abraham was a good father. Abraham had a good servant. How faithful are we? Are we faithful with little things that has been entrusted to us? The things that God entrusted to us, the things that our leaders entrusted to us, are we faithful with them? How faithful are we? Are we obedient to God? Do we have a servant heart? Are we kind towards strangers and each other? Are we caring towards each other? These are things that we really need to sit down and ask ourselves. Are we reliable? Are we faithful and trustworthy? And the final thing is the scripture. And I'll close with that. Romans 4 and verse 20 to 22. And this is what it says. He struggled not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being faithful, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness' sake. Abraham didn't struggle. The scripture says Abraham struggled not at the promise of God through unbelief. He didn't let unbelief get in the way. But he was strong in faith. Right? So when God promised Abraham, he was strong in faith. Because he know the God that he served. And he know the God that he served is well able to keep that promise and bring it to pass. So we too should not falter in unbelief, but should stand strong in faith and glorify God in adversities. We should be firmly convinced that God is faithful in his promises. As we believe and our faith grows strong, the glory of it shall be added to our account. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Sylvanus. It is a wonderful chapter of Genesis, that Genesis 24. If you didn't read it before you came, definitely read it when you go home. It's such an amazing answer to prayer for Abraham, for his servant who went looking for a needle in a haystack, for Isaac, for Rebecca, for Laban, lots of things, lots of threads come together. A wonderful love story, and just a really good story, actually. So definitely read it when you get home. We're going to close there. Remember the cake and your donations for New Day. Enjoy spending time together. Do we want to do the song or you're okay without the song? Fantastic, lovely. So I'll just close in prayer and then we'll go and enjoy tea and cake together. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for fantastic stories like the story of Rebecca and Isaac. Thank you for each other. Thank you for the kids going to New Day. Thank you for all the people who've come back to us today, John and Steph particularly, Lord. I just pray your special blessing on them. Pray your healing for them. Pray your healing for Sue. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless us as we go and have coffee and cake together. And I pray that your spirit will rest on us as we go out today. Back into the world, Lord, shining for you. In Jesus' name, amen.